Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The new year is here, and it's the perfect time to kickstart your meditation practice. The Morning Meditation for Women podcast has short, daily guided meditations that will help you start your day with intention and focus, and make it so easy to get you into the habit. Imagine feeling so much more calm and confident in 2025. Follow and listen to Morning Meditation for Women on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We've had a chance over the last few weeks, considering what is happening and what is not happening in St. Paul, to interview Lisa Damoth multiple times and Melissa Hortman multiple times. And the former speaker, who would like to be the co-speaker, Melissa Hortman, a Democrat, just like Lisa Damoth, is a Republican. Melissa is kind enough to join us, and she is on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Melissa, it's always a pleasure. Yesterday, among your comments, this: my hope would be for sure by the end of the week, if not tomorrow, we will have a deal. So let's make some news here. It's 108. We're on WCCO Radio. Would you like to announce that we have a deal between the Democrats and the Republicans, between yourself and Lisa Damoth, and the Democrats are going back to work?
Well, we have some really positive news. We met today from 9 to 12:30. Both sides made a very significant move today. I was impressed by the movement on the Republican side. I hope they were impressed by a very large move that we made. So I think that conversations have been going really well since Saturday. I mean, ups and downs, you know, there's times it gets a little hot and then times it cools down. But I think we are making progress towards resolving all the outstanding issues.
Okay. The public is curious. This is the public's house. Salaries are paid by the public. So what can you share us about the progress that you offered up, and that the progress and the adjustments that the Republicans offered up? Because I feel like the people have heard so many of the items that have just held this up. Seating tab key, share an agreement, speaker for the entire time. So where have the Republicans moved and where have you moved?
Well, I think the best way to think about it is like in a hockey game when you have a player that has a penalty and then they're in the penalty box and you have this power play and it's temporary. And then when you get your guy out of the box, both sides are back to full strength. And so what we're just looking for is that the period of time where we've got a player in the penalty box, they've got an advantage. They get to exercise that advantage in a way that feels meaningful to them. That feels like a period of time they get to do something with. And then when, you know, we're back to full strength on both sides, that we're playing a fair game and both sides have an even number of players on the field. And so I just think that we're getting closer to an agreement to do that.
So are you willing to give Lisa Damoth longer time as the speaker before you agree to a sharing agreement?
Well, there really doesn't need to be. There's no need for that. There's no justification for that when you're in a.
But that's
tie,
what she wants. You know that,
sense.
Right?
I do, but it doesn't really make sense that one side would want to hold temporary advantage over the whole game. You know, you'd never have a team in hockey that would say, "Well, that guy, you know, committed a penalty, so he's up for the rest of the game." You know, we're getting to the extent of my sports knowledge here, but I don't think that happens. It maybe happens in soccer with the red cards, but that's not what we're dealing with here. You know, we really need to respect what the voters sent to St. Paul. The voters sent Brad Tadke to St. Paul, and the voters sent, unfortunately, an absolutely equal number of Democrats and Republicans. And that means that in the Minnesota House of Representatives, the Democrats and Republicans should each have equal power, because that's what the voters gave us.
Okay. Well, let me circle back. No, let me stay with the Damus situation. She believes, as you know, and as you were alluding to, that if she's elected speaker, even if it goes to 67, it should stay that way. You have been suggesting that once the vote happens with 40B in Roseville, which, by the way, still hasn't been set yet, that once you get to 67, then it goes back to even. So how are
right,
you know,
exactly?
How do you agree to the differences? Because I've talked to you twice, I've talked to Damuth, I've heard you elsewhere, where you're far apart right now. She's saying nope, yeah, that she'll give you some positions on committees, but once she's the speaker, she's going to stay, and you're no on that. So how do you find middle ground on that?
We're not as far apart as we were a few days ago, right? And we're certainly not as far apart as we were on the first day of session. So we've moved over the last, it's been 2 weeks since session started. So we have moved, both sides have moved. I think today was a particularly productive day. And I think if we stay at it and we focus our energy on waging peace, that we'll get there. You know, you look at some of the, again, I've been studying sports because I know you're a sports kind of guy. So, you know, NFL.
I'm getting the sports analogies here, guys.
And, you know, MLB's been out, NBA's been out, and there's all these issues, but they work it out. And sometimes it seems like that impasse is never going to end, and then they get there. And so I think that we will get there. And in a way, you could think of it as good practice right now for the very difficult task at the end of session that we've never had to do together, which is come up with a budget from a completely tied House. So Representative Damus and Representative Hortman have to be people who are good at resolving complicated problems and finding compromise. And so, you know, the fact that we're dealing with this now, it might serve us well towards the end of session that we've gone through this whole tough period.
Okay, but I'm going to try this one more time. If you're so far apart on the speaker position as a way to try to come to an agreement, don't you have to say, okay, we'll let you be speaker for longer than we normally agreed, and then she'll give up the totality of it? Because that's, along with the Tabke issue, which we're going to get to, that's the crux of this. So are you willing to let her be speaker longer than you've initially said?
Well, we should bring you in the negotiating room, because you're just full of ideas.
I'm available.
The way that negotiations work is sometimes you don't do the play-by-play publicly, because you've got to show each other a little bit more what you're willing to do, before you try to sell it to your caucus. And, you know, she's got a caucus that's very clear, very, very clear publicly that they want to get rid of Brad Tabke. And it's very, very clear publicly that they want to run the House completely for 2 years. So I think, you know, to come up with a compromise where there's some satisfaction there, it's a tough job. And I've got a caucus that wants everything even Steven the time. So we'll both have to make some moves that neither of our caucuses are going to like in order to resolve the situation.
This is a sports commentator, former speaker, maybe co-speaker, Melissa Hortman with us here on WCCO. Chad Hartman with you. Now, I'm going to read right from a text, and it's a good point. When a player is in the penalty box, the team still shows up and skates. That's right. If a player is in the penalty box, they normally have five on the ice. They have four. We're not counting the goaltender in this situation. So on the PR battle of not showing up, don't you think you're losing that publicly? Whether you agree with it or not,
well,
but the public is mad that you're not in St. Paul. I know you're working. Yeah. I know you're meeting.
Yep.
But they want you in St. Paul.
Well, I think that when an individual or a group of people is trying to do something that's unjust and that violates the rule of law, sometimes you have to be willing to do something that's rather difficult to demonstrate your opposition to it and to not be complicit in it. If we would have showed up, Brad Tabke would not be a state representative right now. We'd be having two elections instead of one. And there's no basis for that. So we had no choice. The only leverage we have is not going in for floor session. Now, I think that we're going to get to a point very soon where everybody's working together and we're moving forward at the Capitol. Right now, we're focusing on our communities. People are having opportunities to do lots of tours and visits and meetings that normally are very, very difficult to schedule during the legislative session. So it has been healthy in a way for folks to have that time to do these kind of in-depth, you know, substantive meetings in their districts.
So for the folks who are saying, excuse me, folks who are saying you're getting paid, that a lot of these negotiations could continue to take place if you're in St. Paul. And if you're not going to go to St. Paul, why are you getting paid? What do you say to those folks who believe that? And many of them, by the way, not many. I would say many. I've talked to many Democrats who they're going to still continue to vote for your party, but they disagree and say, show up on the floor, negotiate, and earn the pay that you're getting.
Yeah, well, you could ask the same question about the Republicans. You know, they engaged in unconstitutional behavior
Paul, right?
for 2 weeks, right? They went to St. Paul. They ran sham committees. The Minnesota Supreme Court shut that down. Every single thing they did was invalidated. Should they be paid for the time that they did invalid activities? Knowingly. By the way, they got a lot of legal advice that what they were doing was pretty creative. You know,
so let me stop you there. Were they getting, and how do you know that they were getting advice that they were doing something illegal?
Because we all get advice from the same people. They tell us what the Constitution means, and the Constitution says you got to have 60 people, but you can't be crawling all over the rostrum. It's not legally permitted. But you know what? Looking backwards isn't going to solve the problem. We have to look at how can we work together, and we have to work together. It's not like you can walk away. It's not like a couple where you can get divorced. We've got to come to an agreement about how we're going to govern together, and then we have to come up with a budget for the state of Minnesota. So as difficult as these first 2 weeks have been, it's an 18-week session. We're in the third week. If we resolve it now, we still got 15 weeks to be productive together, six of which the Republicans could run completely, and then nine of which we would work together.
Has Lisa Damoth agreed to seat Brad Tabke?
That Tabke issue is part of the negotiations. It's part of what's dividing us right now, and we're both working on it. She's representing her caucus's point of view very forcefully in the negotiations, and I'm representing my caucus's point of view very forcefully in the negotiations. And I think we might be making some progress about how to find a way to deal with that. But as I think we're finding progress on lots of issues. So I'm hopeful.
I know there are a lot of issues
to be in this business.
Right. I get it. I know there are a lot of issues, but the two core issues are, how long is Lisa Damoth going to be speaker, and will the Republicans seat Brad Tabke? And it seems to me from listening to you that you don't have a deal on either one of those. So how much progress really has been made?
Oh, no, there's been a lot of progress, a lot of good conversations, a lot of movement today. I think one day soon, when you see a deal, you'll be like, oh, I can see where the Republicans moved, and oh, I can see where the Democrats moved. But I want the negotiations to continue to move forward. So I'm not going to characterize what she's done, and I'm not going to characterize what I've done, because I want to respect the integrity of that negotiation space where we can be problem solvers together.
Do you believe a deal is going to happen today? Or do you believe a deal is going to happen in the next couple of days?
I don't think it'll happen today. I'm hopeful it'll happen tomorrow. You know, in our world right now, every single day is a very, very long time. I think the first 2 weeks of the session this year feels like about 15 years. And so, you know, it's only Tuesday. We met Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and this morning. We're meeting again tomorrow. And I'm hopeful that with the significant moves both sides made today, maybe tomorrow will be a really good day.
Melissa, I appreciate you coming on. We'll pay attention and reach out again soon.
Thank you.
Melissa Hortman, the former speaker who wants to be co-speaker. All right. You hear him often on this show. Our guy Hauser reports on him. Blois reports on him. You can consume him from everybody who pays attention to politics in this state. Did we learn anything new? And then let's go to the bottom line. Which side is bugging you more right now? And if you want to break it down, 60-40, 70-30, 100% zero, whatever you want. Did we learn anything new? And who's bugging you more than the other side? A call works. A text works. Go on the Odyssey app. Click on the microphone. That works also. 651-461-9226. Hearing from multiple political insiders who will go nameless at this point, but a number of folks were listening to Melissa Hortman, including those on the media side and those on the political side. And one of my political insiders was talking to a prominent Republican while Hortman was talking, and while this individual was listening to Hortman speak to us. And one of my political insiders said, well, does it seem like as much progress has been made as Hortman is conveying? And this Republican prominent individual told one of my sources, Dave, no. So maybe she's just trying to take the optimistic tone, because I know there's a lot of other issues, and I made this point repeatedly, and I wish I would have jumped into Democrats and what they knew and didn't know about Kurt Johnson, because even Ryan Winkler last week crushed Democrats on that. But as you know, we already were way over time. If you're not making progress with how long Damoth is going to be speaker, and if you're not making progress on Tapke and whether they're going to seat him, does anything else really matter?
Well, perhaps what they're serving in the Rathskeller?
Thank you. Thank you. More texts. Nice job in the interview. Thank you. It's frustrating listening to the continued partisan-leaning comments. It's a miracle anything gets done. More. I'm just going to read a bunch of your texts right now. Dems will not vote for anything for the first 6 weeks. So she mentioned 6 weeks of the Republicans to be speaker. Does that mean the other weeks are completely exactly shared? Unless that's one area they're trying to give them a little bit more ownership. That's what I was saying. If they're going to make any progress, did they give Damoth another month? And oh, by the way, we got the Senate seat today, the seat filling for Carrie Dietzick passing away way too soon. Democrats are going to win that. Okay. Then you have Democrats controlling the Senate. You have, last time I checked, Tim Walz, he's not a Republican. So give Damoth the speaker for another month. What really is going to pass, because you still have the Senate and the governorship lock, stock, and smoke and barrel for the Democrats, right?
Yes, that's been my thought the last few days, at least. Just who cares? Let Damoth have the next 2 years. The Democrats have had 2 years to push through every possible thing they could have ever wanted. They did a lot of that. So, well, okay, give it to Republicans, because it's not going to matter if you're a Democrat anyway. Perhaps you can't pass quite as much as you'd like to, but you know the Republicans won't actually get to pass anything through, as you said, the Senate or the governor's office.
More texts. Ooh, how about this one? Caroline Kennedy. We'll have to pay attention to this. Is going after. Caroline Kennedy accuses cousin RFK Jr. of being a predator and urges senators to reject his nomination as HHS secretary. A predator. Wow. Paul Offit has joined this show many, many times. Probably as prominent as anybody on childhood vaccines. Paul Offit, the day after RFK Jr. testifies for a long, long time, tomorrow. Paul Offit's going to join us on Thursday. More text on Damoth, Hortman, not showing up, not seating, nothing happening. More of your text. 50-50 bugging me, 100% Walls. Yeah, Walls should be 100% more involved in this, and not just as a Democrat. Why not actually try to make progress and call out your own party? What a novel concept that would be. More text. Republicans, because they're refusing to accept the judge's decision in the Tapke case, and just want to barge ahead. Yeah, I've made that point to Damuth. Damuth's been on three times. You can't just pick and choose, Dave. You can't just, if they're willing to accept the Supreme Court ruling, if they're willing to accept that Curtis Johnson wasn't living in the district, which was a total lie, and he wasn't, but they're not willing to accept this, I don't think you're allowed to just say, I'm only going to accept judges' rulings unless they agree with me. The only way you do that, Dave, is if you're president of the United States.
Ding, ding, ding. You got the punchline before anyone else could say it. Well done.
Yeah. Which side bugs me more? It's 50-50. I'm angry and frustrated with our politicians. Is this financially smart for our state with the Democrats not showing up to work? No. No. Not showing up to work and getting paid, it's a hell of a gig. Maybe it tells us they should show up the last month.
That's the only time anything gets done anyway.
You know, last time Tom was on, I asked him about that, and he's right. I mean, there are all sorts of meetings that happen every single day to try to flush things out, bring details, add more. So I know there are tangible things done, but a lot of times all that tangible progress that's thrown in the garbage when the governor, the speaker, the Senate majority leader, and the minority leaders in those respective in the House and Senate show up, they start trading, they make a deal, and then they say, all right, here's about a 750-page deal. Budget's at a crazy number. You have 10 seconds, yes or no? That's really a bright light. Okay. Much to my displeasure, but the public wants it. We now have more names for the stupid snowplow.
Woo-hoo! I brought them in with me.
Thank you.
7,300 names were submitted, and we're going to get to at least the first 300 before the top of the hour.
Do these people have TikTok? I mean, do they realize masturbation's not a bad thing?
What?
I mean,
Where did that come from?
Go for a walk. I'm just giving them other ideas. You know, go for a walk. You know, grow some flowers. Make a run at your partner. I mean, 7,000, how many?
7,300. But there's 50 finalists. So I'll say we won't read all 50, but I'm going to give you some.
Okay.
Are you ready for me,
Sergey,
or do you
Jones
need to break?
We got a break right here. It's this new thing at the bottom of the hour. We go to traffic and weather commercials.
All right. Bye.
Okay. Over 7,000 suggestions.
Mm-hmm.
To name the snow plows. By the way, it doesn't snow anymore.
I know, right?
Let's start there. I've been making fun of this bit ever since it started. Maybe I have the power by criticizing this. I ended snow in Minnesota.
You're just that powerful. The magistrate. the czar of winter.
Yes, thank you. Okay, so we have 50 finalists.
Mm-hmm.
How would you evaluate overall the finalists? You're thinking weak, you're thinking great. What? Give me your assessment.
I'd say right in the middle. I'm not going to go strong either way because some of them were cute. Some of them were lame.
Yeah.
A lot of them had to do with sports. Dave Harrigan, your thoughts.
Dave, do you feel the same way?
I can't be partial to this because the one I submitted didn't make it to the final 50. So I say all these stink.
Wow.
Go ahead, Dave. Tell Susie what you submitted.
What did you submit?
Sour grapes. Well, I wanted to submit one that was a play off something we do on the show because that would really irk Chad the most. So I wanted it to be overbladed, underbladed, or properly bladed. But they have a character limit, and that was over the limit, so I had to come up with something else. And it ties into the show, wasn't working. So the one I did submit was, hey, babe, what's your brine?
Oh. See? But I think it's just got to be a name. Like, hey, babe, what's your brine is a saying. But, like, one of them was, here, this is cute, Rudy Gobrer.
No,
Skull,
not cute.
How about this one? Skull Plow.
No.
Hmm. How about Anthony Sledwards?
It's better.
Okay. Better.
How about musical icons also making the cut? Bob Chillin.
Yeah, I saw that one.
That's cute.
Okay. Again, I'm against the entire contest.
I know you are. Let's
start
there.
But among the ones you've offered so far, Bob Chillin is my favorite so far.
Okay, good. How about no snow country for cold men? That's too long, but it's cute. From the Coen Brothers?
Yeah, doesn't it? I mean, if we're going, how long? A phenomenal movie, by the way.
The best
Coen Brothers movie ever.
I love that movie.
Do you think they have to be more current than a movie which is amazing, but 15 years old?
Yeah, probably. Maybe more.
Yeah, I wish they would be very current.
Although, my comeback to that is I just said I like Bob Chillin, and he's 197 years old.
As current as he's ever been, though, with the movie.
Yeah,
that's true.
That's my Bob Dylan impression.
Yeah, thank you. Ooh. I thought he was in studio.
You dog.
Whoa. Gosh, I'm gone, and Bob Dylan's in studio.
All right, Chad, here's another one that's kind of cute, along the musical tunes.
Okay.
Chili Eilish. Come on, that's cute. How about
Dave?
Oh.
Eh.
Doesn't do much.
It's fine.
Hot to Snow. Melton John. Snotorious B.I.G.
Hold on, I chuckled a little bit at Melton John. Okay.
Okay. All right, so we're basically number one, Bob Chillin, number two, Melton John, and number three. Because I like Rudy. Rudy Gobert.
No?
Yeah.
But
I don't like how Rudy's played most of the year, and I don't like that one. He's been better lately. But
okay. Well, if you
horrible
had
game. They won just a horrible game last night. Jeez.
Hey, like your dad said, a win's a win.
Yeah.
Didn't he always say that? I mean, he said a lot.
He could flip and flop on that position pretty quickly.
Hey, how many years now? We're coming up on the anniversary.
Yeah. He passed away October 18th, 2020. I never go with anniversary for me personally on somber events.
Yeah.
You know, like yesterday was looking back at the Holocaust.
Yeah.
And 80 years after. To me, I just think anniversary is happy.
Yeah.
You know? We're coming up on his birthday, March 15th, where he would have been 105.
Man. It's amazing.
And he would have wanted a snowplow named after him every single year.
Snow Hartman. That's a
Yeah. Oh, I think he would have needed Sid in there for
Sid,
sure.
Sid Snowman.
Yeah, something like that.
Anyway.
Do you have one or two more before you have to go?
Oh, let me refer to my list here. Da, 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 da. You know, I think I've given you the ones that are most interesting.
Yeah.
Do you have any?
Dave, did anything else stand out to you?
I'm looking at the list right now. And honestly, like I said, I cannot play this right down the middle because I'm still bitter.
I know.
I mean,
I can feel it in this room. How about James J. Chill?
Yeah.
All right.
Flake Superior.
Not bad.
Flake Superior. Yeah. See, I like it just one word, flake.
To quote John Williams, wouldn't it be great if we had a great lake right here on the state?
That is phenomenal.
Make Snowbegone. I do kind of like that for all the Garrison Keillor fans.
Okay.
Huh.
We'll see, won't we?
You know?
We can all vote. We can all vote. The public will vote.
Likelihood, I'm going to vote.
I'm going to take the over-under as one, and I'm picking the under.
Yeah, keep going lower.
Lower than nothing.
Yes,
you're not going to do it.
You need to go to work on a story? Can you share what the story is?
Oh, no, I mean, it's just we've had a busy news day. You had Melissa Hortman on, and Amy Klobuchar is in Washington talking about the federal funding freeze for grants and loans. And they're talking about getting the buses, more movement toward getting buses off Nicollet. You know, this is just kind of a, and we're watching the cap, but we just got to see what's going on. Carrie Dietzick's seat, that election is today. So, just a good day.
I mean, and maybe a quick trip to Target.
It's possible. It's possible.
It is possible.
I need Excedrin. I am an Excedrin junkie. Oh. Maybe you didn't know that about me.
I'm Advil.
Excedrin.
I'm more Advil. Are Dave, you? What's your drug of choice?
I mostly just go with the Tylenol.
Okay. Advil, Tylenol, and Excedrin. Excedrin just has caffeine. Gives me a little snap.
Little juice?
Yeah, little juice.
Thank you,
okay,
Susie.
Darling. Talk to you later.
Susie, back with us at the top of the hour. I'm just reading as I'm listening to Susie. Some of the comments that Caroline Kennedy offered up on Robert Fitzgerald Kennedy Jr., her cousin Bobby. I'm going to read a few of these. Not complimentary at all. And, of course, Bobby Kennedy has his hearing tomorrow. And, of course, in the opinion of this host, he's not qualified. Caroline doesn't think so either. Let's give you some of that information when we come back. Bobby Kennedy tomorrow in front of the Senate making the case he should be the head of Health and Human Services. We'll have Paul Offit on Thursday, who I think is as smart as anyone on vaccines and childhood vaccines in particular in this country. I'm always wary, Dave, about family members and if there have been personal issues. But let's be honest, if someone is touting a particular candidate who they like, if a family member is saying good things about said candidate, they'll cite it. The Kennedys have been kind of our royal family. Bobby Kennedy's last name is a part of why people were drawn to him. It's part of why Donald Trump was drawn to him. So now you have his cousin, Caroline Kennedy, son of daughter of Jack and Jackie Kennedy, commenting about who she calls Bobby. Among her comments, I've known Bobby my whole life. We grew up together. It's no surprise that he keeps birds of prey as pets because Bobby himself is a predator. He's always been charismatic, able to track others through strength of personality, his willingness to take risks, and break the rules. I watched his younger brothers and cousins follow him down the path of drug addiction. His basement, his garage, his dorm room were always the center of the action where drugs were available, and he enjoyed showing off how he put baby chickens and mice in a blender to feed his horses. It was often a perverse scene of despair and violence. That was a long time ago. And people can change. Through his own strength, the many second chances he was given by people who felt sorry for the boys who lost his father, Bobby was able to pull himself out of illness and disease. But siblings and cousins who Bobby encouraged on the path of substance abuse suffered addiction, illness, and death. While Bobby has gone on to misrepresent, lie, and cheat his way through life. So he's calling him a predator and then say, Bobby has gone on to misrepresent, lie, and cheat his way through life. He also says Bobby's addicted to attention and power. He preys on the desperation of parents of sick children, vaccinating his own kids while building a following while hypocritically discouraging other parents from vaccinating theirs. A little more of what Caroline had to say about Bobby Kennedy. His ethics report makes it clear he will keep his financial stake in a lawsuit against the HPV vaccine. In other words, Bobby's willing to profit and enrich himself by denying access to a vaccine that can prevent almost all forms of cervical cancer. I mean, it's scathing. It's unsparing. It's hypercritical. And it's someone who's known him for the entirety of their life. Now, again, a lot of folks, Dave, are, well, character matters, pending if I'm supporting them or I'm not supporting them. And some will say, yeah, I'm not voting for Bobby Kennedy the human. I'm voting for Bobby Kennedy because I think he should be the Secretary of Health and Human Services, and he should bring better health to our country, you know, on limiting ultra-processed foods, the red dye, which are being limited, taking on things. If Bobby Kennedy or anybody in that position could get all of us to eat better and to be more healthy, Dave, I'm all for it. But Bobby Kennedy, and this isn't even a debate, is a liar about vaccines. He just is. Not on every vaccine, absolutely, positively, unequivocally not. I do think when Caroline Kennedy points out incredible hypocrisy, how, oh, his kids are vaccinated, but no, don't do that. When you watch people who can use his own words, his own quotes, whether it's on video or in stories, and use him asking questions, Dave, he wilts. He does. The HPV vaccine, he's against that. We know he tried to stop the COVID vaccine. He's played games at times with polio vaccine. And as the father of my youngest son, Quentin, who's right near me, who has autism, and he lies that the only reason why autism happens because of vaccines, and he epoxied himself to Wakefield for years and years when that was disproven. There's no debate, boys and girls. He is a liar. If we want to have a healthy examination of vaccines, fine. Dave's got a story today. More and more schools making exceptions for vaccines on just flimsy reasons, putting in jeopardy other kids who are just getting up to speed on vaccines. People don't just magically turn autistic. Stop it. And going after vaccines that have been proven successful, like HPV, I want him no part of HHS, and I hope that doesn't happen. And it's going to be worth watching tomorrow with this hearing.